Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. Your host is Wendy Fleming Dexter, and after 30 years living in small town Illinois, she has stories to tell. Past cornfields and factories, into the heart of Amish country. There's more here than what meets the eye, far beyond what you think you know. So buckle up and stay tuned. This is Life on the Illinois Prairie.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. I have a returning guest today, a woman that I have a lot of respect for, that is a busy, busy, busy person, and I'm so glad that she made time to come back today to talk about her new adventures and everything that's going on in her life. Welcome back, journalist, WCIA Channel 3, Amanda Brennan. Amanda, thank you for being here.
Yeah, happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure. You're such a pleasant person, and you're just you just have so much positive energy. And it's not just here, but it's something that radiates through on the TV, and it's something that I think it's one of your special gifts that you have.
Oh, good. That's always, you know, when people tell me that, I'm like, it makes me so happy because I love my job. I'm very lucky to be, you know, in a community that I love, doing something that I love. So when other people see that, you know, I'm happy to share that, you know, joy with others and everyone on their TV screens.
And that's something you just can't fake. You can't go to school to learn that. And speaking of school, you want to give a little background information? I know you've been on before, but for the listeners who may not have heard you the first time.
Definitely. Always happy to talk about my alma mater. I'm a proud Illini. I went to the University of Illinois here in Urbana-Champaign, graduated in 2022 with a degree in journalism. I have a minor in public relations. I dabbled in the recreation, sport, and tourism program and the art and design program. I was involved in, it felt like everything under the sun, whether that be all of the student broadcast productions. I got very involved in those starting my, I would say, sophomore, junior, senior year, especially my senior year. I essentially lived at the TV studio, but my absolute favorite part of college, being a part of the Marching Illini, every game day, rain, shine, sleet, snow, 100 degrees or numb toes, we were out cheering on the Fighting Illini, traveling with them every so often, going on bowl games, Ireland, things like that. So definitely proud to bleed orange and blue.
Well, you've definitely left your mark on so many facets of Champaign-Urbana, and definitely on WCIA. So could you just recently celebrated your 3-year anniversary. That's pretty exciting.
It's gone by fast. Yeah, 3 years.
I bet it has.
On Channel 3, it's, I guess, a golden anniversary.
Well, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. So has there been any, I know you've had very many, I don't want to call them highs and lows because they're not lows, but you've had so many emotion-packed stories that you've told about, so many stories of great joy and stories of great devastation. Has there been a defining thing that really made you think this is the pinnacle of my career at Channel 3, or that I don't know what your plans are down the line, but I mean, I know that in each person's individual story, there are stories that are going to make an impact for you.
Oh, definitely. And I'm so, you know, happy to meet so many people across Central Illinois, right? Like, meeting people is the best part of the job. That's why I didn't want to be tied down to the anchor desk every day or producing every day. Like, I truly love reporting and being out in the field and just meeting people of all backgrounds and walks of life. To think about like a pinnacle defining moment, let's see. I would say the last year has definitely been eye-opening. I feel like, you know, whatever job you're in, whether that's engineering or business or animal science, you know, whatever it is, the first couple of months are hard to adjust. And then once you really start to get your, you know, bearings the first couple of years, then now by my third year, I'm like, wow, let's see what I've done here. But last year, I think the hardest story, but also one of the most rewarding stories, was after a triple murder in Mahomet. Mahomet is about 15-20 minutes outside of Champaign. It is a community that I absolutely adore. I love doing stories with the families, the churches, the schools, mm-hmm. the park district. And when I got a press release that December morning in my inbox about a triple homicide, just jaw dropped, absolutely devastating. My photographer and I were out there by, I'd say it was like 7:30, 8 a.m. Neighbors just confused, the community confused. No one would have ever have seen this coming. I was out there all day, and just every single minute, a different layer was unfolding. The suspect was ultimately found shot and killed by law enforcement in the Chicago suburbs. So it was just one of those things of, why was he down here? How did he get up there? Was this targeted? How did he know the family? It was three family members who were killed. I mean, just absolutely heartbreaking. When I was out there that morning, I will remember a red car coming up to the crime scene, the house just taped off by crime scene tape, a red car coming up, a young man coming out about my age, in his 20s. Asking me what happened, One of my best friends lives here. And I had to tell him what had happened. So that was just terrible, hard. And it was also one of those moments, though, where I had to be a journalist and I had to ask him if he'd want to do an interview. He just learned. And that's one of the tough parts of my jobs. So I just had to deliver this unimaginable news to him. And then I have to ask him to go on camera and do an interview. He was like, how long will you be out here? Can I go home, kind of get my thoughts together? And I didn't know if he was going to come back. But sure enough, he came back about an hour later, and he had pictures. He had gathered memories. He had thought back to all of these feel-good stories of him and one of the victims. He knew the mom who had also – she was also shot and killed. And it was one of those things where I'm like, it just – it gives you that human element. A few hours later, I was at, one of the churches in Mahomet, had a vigil, and, you know, there are therapy dogs, the community's coming, you know, I try to keep my space. You know, I'm just here to give you the facts, but I'm not going to try to interfere with, you know, you guys, we're all humans. Like, I'm not going to try to put a camera in your face while you're, in the church. Right. But one of the, attendees, I guess, came up to me after all of this, and he thanked me for my reporting. And it didn't hit me until then. Like, people were tuned into my Twitter, my Facebook, WCIA.com, all day. And he said, he's like, all I knew was that there were gunshots. I had no idea until I saw your report what it came to. And it just, like, made me realize how grateful people are for journalists, the importance of journalists, the importance of empathetic journalists, who truly realize, you know, these are humans. I live in this community too. I'm heartbroken. Like you. So that was just day one. I mean, then down the line, this story taught me so much about FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act that journalists have access to, anyone has access to, and just FOIAing the police reports from Mahomet police, from state police, from Berwyn police, which is the suburb where the suspect was shot and killed. I learned so much about investigative journalism. And then about a month later is when I put together, along with my photographer and one of our digital team members who works behind the scenes, we put together a 5-minute investigation of minute by minute what police say happened that day. And it was just chilling to read, like, these graphic reports. That was just chilling but eye-opening, and I knew I was answering questions because everyone just kept asking me why. And then it was a week after that where then we did another investigation into how the suspect and the family knew each other, what could have led up to this, things like that. So it was just one of those stories where it's heartbreaking, it's sad. I got home that night and was just, you know, needed to be by myself for a little bit, and it just makes you realize just how fragile life can be, how unexpected this all can be. Reading those police reports, though, it was like a movie was playing in my head. Like, I can't even believe this happened in Mahomet, of all places. So I don't want to say that was a pinnacle, because it was a heartbreaking story, but it was also something that was, it taught me so much about journalism and the community and the people that we surround ourselves with.
I can see that pinnacle would be the wrong word in that situation, because it is a deeply emotional story for so many people. And as you said, all those uncertainties and questions that people had, and to be able to, as a journalist, walk that fine line as a person with empathy, and then be the person that also has these opportunities to make the story more real to people, as painful as it is. And the gentleman that was willing to speak with you, journalists are under fire so much anyway, and to be able to know that you're not that person pushing a microphone or a camera in somebody's face saying, how do you feel? Well, how do you think they feel? Of course, you know, right. Under those circumstances, I mean, it's a given. And so when you see those kind of situations and what you've done, the difference is night and day, because giving people the opportunity, but not pushing them. And then for him to be able to make it so real, so personal, and then for you to be able to put together that timeline, because again, yeah, so many people were curious, how could that happen? How could this man get from point A to point B, you know, in that time frame? And I think it's just incredible that you're able to do that and make that happen, and make your Channel 3 viewers understand what did happen.
Definitely.
Yeah. So then you have had the opportunity to now work with Kevin Leidy at the 4 o'clock newscast. How is that? How did that come about? And Channel 3 is really putting a lot of news out there and giving Channel 3 and surrounding areas so much information locally, and not all stations are able to do that. So could you tell the importance of that, and what has that experience been like?
Yeah, I mean, we have broadcasts starting at 5 a.m. We have producers getting here at midnight. Like, someone is in this building 24/7. Our nightside team leaves after the 10 o'clock news. They are out the door typically between 10:45 and 11. And before you know it, our morning team is in starting at midnight. So maybe there's an hour where no one's in this building. Like, news is moving fast. But specifically talking about the 4 p.m. show, it's such a fun show because our goal of that show is to make it something a little different than our other shows. And the phrase that I've found myself using a lot the last couple of weeks in particular, is community-based journalism. And that's, I think, the best way to sum up the 4 o'clock show. We have our A block, is what we call it. That's the first chunk of news before the first commercial break. And that's news of the day. But it's not always necessarily the doom and gloom of news. Sometimes that's worked in there, but our goal is, you know, here's some festivals you need to know about. Here's a cool kid you need to know about. Here's what's happening in this school district, or here's what police are doing over in this community, things like that. Our goal is to bring in more live interviews with university researchers, with nonprofits, with I mentioned outstanding kids or volunteers, things like that. So that's the goal of the 4 p.m. We have trending topics, which is so much fun. Kevin and I sit down, and that is us truly just having a conversation as friends about what's trending in the community, whether that be an interesting travel trend or something that people are eating, interesting food. You know, we send Jacob to go do fun live hits somewhere if time allows and the weather allows, of course. It's where we talk about our friends, our family, and our goal is, you know, for you to get to know us as people. Things like that. We bring in a lot of national headlines. Kevin will talk about what weather is trending, not only here in Illinois, but across the country, across the world. So the 4 o'clock is fun because it's something different. And I think that, you know, as we've talked about, I love doing the fun part of journalism, the featurey side of journalism. I love getting my hands on breaking news and going to breaking news situations and investigations. So being able to, I guess, balance the 4 p.m. broadcast and all of that is special because it's different than our other broadcasts. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. We have a lot of ideas to keep it growing, keep it going, and make it a little different than what you might see at 5, 6, and 10.
Yeah, that's Champaign is a good sized market to be able to, and Champaign and surrounding areas, good sized market to be able to have all sorts of opportunities to bring that positive, some of those positive things that we just don't hear about in the news so often. So many times those things slip through the cracks, and because there is so much breaking news and there are so many sad stories and, you know, accidents and all those things. So to be able to share that positivity and to highlight people that do deserve their moment in the sun, but may not get it otherwise. I mean, sometimes, you know, on the morning show, there are different places they will highlight or the bright spot on the 5 o'clock news in different places that they have that they'll get a brief moment. But there are so many more positive things that need to be shared and recognized.
Yeah, and I think that's what's important, you know, finding that balance and really showing off. There's so many outstanding people in Central Illinois. That's the coolest part of my job, whether that be going new towns for the Our Town franchise that we've been doing for years or celebrating Central Illinois. We do some half-hour features every so often where I've sat down with teachers or outstanding graduates, or one of my most recent ones was Black History Month and meeting so many just outstanding leaders across Central Illinois. Yes. You know, without those specials, I wouldn't necessarily have an excuse to go meet all these really cool people running really fun programs and shaping the next generation. So I'm definitely lucky to be at a station that prioritizes people and telling stories like that.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned Our Town. You guys are going to Gifford. This is your first one, and that'll be over by the time this is published, this episode. But that's got to be a fun thing to do, and yet has to have a lot of preparation and work to make that happen. How many places do you actually go to each year, and how are they determined?
So the last several years, we've done Our Towns every other Friday. And as to how it's determined, I'm not always in the decision room when that's happening. But of course, it has to do with, you know, viewers reaching out to us, what they have going on, things like that. I know this year we're doing things a little bit different, and we are going to towns that have already existing really fun Friday night events. So when we were in Gifford, that was for their 150th celebration. So we went to something where the town is already out there and celebrating. We're going to Morrisonville in a few weeks, and that is for their Bullfrog Festival, something I have never heard of. I've never been to that town, but I'm setting up stories now, and it's been a lot of fun just to chat with business owners and volunteers and school district leaders on the phone. We're going to be in Marshall in September and Newman in September. So all towns. Oh. I've been to Gifford and I've been to Newman, but Marshall and Morrisonville will be two new stops for me as I get to know these people.
Oh, cool. That's wonderful. We had a lady on from Marshall that talked about the orphan trains a few weeks back, and I'd never heard of orphan trains. That they ran for 75 years, bringing children to Central Illinois and other communities. I had never heard of that, and they ran for 75 years.
I didn't know that either. I should make a note of that.
You might find some people that were, a lot of people brought out here from New York and the East Coast that had either had bad environments or had lost their parents, or the parents were not able to take care of them properly, because back when that was founded, I mean, the cities were in pretty, I can imagine a city like New York without the infrastructure and things they have in place now would be pretty wild and woolly back in those days. And yes. But anyway, that was one of the story we had about Marshall. So the camaraderie you talk about, Channel 3 and what they allow, we'll talk for a minute about Channel 3 and what they, the way that it is different. I don't want to compare it to another station because the camaraderie that is there just seems to me to be so apparent. Is this something that comes from the top down? I mean, within your station, I don't know. It's not something that could be mandated. It's not something that can be encouraged. It is just either there or it's not, by aligning the people, and everybody isn't going to be a good fit. But, you know, from seeing it from the outside and from the few times when Stacy and I've been there and sung on CI Living, and, you know, you walk through the newsroom and you see, you know, the people are working together and genuinely have a family atmosphere there. Is that, where does that come from?
Oh, I would say, I mean, it's nice that we're all naturally friends. Like, we were all talking about this just a couple of days ago, a big group of us, we were all out in downtown Champaign. We're like, how lucky are we that we're all hanging out here outside of work, like, willingly, just because we want to, because we're genuinely friends. Like, you see Jacob and I messing around on the 4 o'clock, and, like, I joke around with him that we're, like, a brother-sister relationship, because he'll tease me, I'll tease him right back, but I'll dog sit his adorable little dog, Vinny, whenever he wants. Like, so we're very lucky to have that genuine relationship. A lot of us went to U of I together when I started working here in 2022. It was essentially my journalism school friend group in the newsroom. There were six of us that I went to school with here. So that naturally came over. But you talk about, you know, from the top down, and I will say, like, I love my boss. I absolutely adore and respect our news director. She is a girl boss. Like, of all, if there was a girl boss, it would be Maggie Grindstaff. Like, she is just genuinely so nice. We can talk to her about work things, but she knows my family. She knows my friends. We run into each other outside of work, and I'm happy to see her and her family. So I think that that definitely helps, that we just have a news director who is so approachable. Within the last, oh gosh, I would say year and a half or so now, we have a new general manager who, same thing, she has an open door policy. She comes through. I remember her first week, she went through the newsroom and made sure she knew all of our names, no matter what. She walked through desk to desk, got to know where we were from, what stories we loved to cover. And I'm like, wow, like, this is incredible. She'll come into our editorial meetings every so often if she has a story pitch. So genuinely, I love the people who you don't see on camera. Everyone that's behind the scenes is great to work with. You see that family atmosphere, that family dynamic when we're on TV. But we also have producers in our ears that I would consider myself good friends with our producers and our production team and the camera operators, the audio operators, everything like that. So I'm so lucky to work here and have reporters and producers and anchors around me who I love hanging out with outside of work. It makes coming to work easier, right?
Oh, sure. And the fact that it comes across, I mean, it just comes across through the screens that is there when you guys are playful. The people in the morning, Alan or Adam Sherwinski and all, you know, we can't love Adam. And Matthew Reif and Taylor or Mitchell Reif and Taylor Mitchell, those, you know, the relationships. You can't force that. And, that is just something that, comes across. And it's not something, again, you cannot fake that. I was going to ask you though, when you bring Vinny to the station, how did Vinny and Boston, the station dog, get along? They surely have met.
I would think that they have. Boston's here once a week, and everyone gets excited on Wednesdays. That's Boston Day. And Vinny just comes every so often. If Jacob needs to drop him off, sometimes his wife brings him to work. So sometimes this is just a little stop by for Vinny, things like that. Vinny will come in sometimes on weekends if Jacob needs to drop something off. So now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, they're both very friendly dogs. I would think they would be the best of friends. I don't know if they've met. I don't know if I've seen a picture of them together. I'll have to circle back with you on that. They need to meet. If they haven't met already, I'll have to ask Jacob.
If a picture shows up on social media, I know that you'll have followed through on that. I have. Yeah. We used to, when we would sing on CI Living, I think they always had the live music on Wednesdays, which I think that was the case. And I think that's how we probably happened. I remember the first time I walked through there and saw a dog, and it was like, oh, there's a dog. Can I pet him? Can I pet the dog?
Yes.
And, oh my gosh, I was so excited. And he is such a sweet, beautiful dog.
He's a very good boy.
I had, you know, on social media asked when Jacob, when he has a million people responding, one of the million people asking him a question, had Vinny met the Dickey chicks? I was wondered how he responded to the chickens.
Oh, I wonder if he certainly has met them. And I don't know how that went, but I know Vinny has met them.
Well, he is an adorable dog, I will say.
And he's very well behaved.
Really? Well, did he get that from? He must have gotten that from Jacob's wife. Not from Jacob.
Right. No, like genuinely though, I dog sat him for about, it was a week and a half or so in March, and at that point they maybe had him for 3 or 4 weeks, and I just had him, and he knew when to go out. He played with his toys. He didn't bite anything. He didn't like all of the stereotypical puppy things. Not a problem. He was very good. I'm always happy to dog sit for Vinny. We call him my nephew. I'm Aunt Amanda.
That's hilarious. So speaking of Jacob, now you guys have you're partnering with a new initiative you have a teacher focus group.
Yes.
Another thing that's a community involvement thing, which I think is what a wonderful idea. Again, teachers and education kind of coming under fire. And so please tell about that. I think it's so exciting.
Yeah, well, this was all Jacob's idea. He came to me and he was like, hey, with your new position, would you have time or would you be willing to partner with me on this teacher focus group? And I'm like, okay, well, what do you have in mind? So he put this Google form together, a survey, and he is like the king of Google Forms. He's very organized with those. So he made a great organized Google form, put it together, put it on his social media. We had hundreds of responses within a few hours. Like so many teachers and educators filled out that form wanting to be a part of it. So I was excited. Right now, what we have planned is kind of like help us help you, if that makes sense. We're going to pick a handful of teachers and they'll come in and it'll be like beginning of August or so. And it'll just be an open forum for them to ask us questions about journalism, about meteorology. If any of them want to incorporate journalism lessons into their classroom, how can they do that? If they want to incorporate some sort of a science lesson, what would Jacob best recommend? So that's like one half of it. But also on the storytelling side of things, my side of it, tell me what you're planning to do in your classroom this year. When should I be stopping by? Would you be willing to do a segment about teacher tips? You know, what should parents know? What message do you want to send to parents? So it's just an open dialogue, an open conversation, just with a small handful of teachers to start. And then we'll see how it goes, what time allows for, et cetera, down the line. But I think at the core of it, it's just going to be that connection piece. They can connect with us. We can connect with them. I love getting into classrooms and telling the stories of what these amazing teachers are doing all across Central Illinois. They have some creative lesson plans. I'm like, I don't know where you thought of that, but the world needs to hear about it. Let me help you tell it, right? So I think that this will open some doors for us, but of course also for the teachers to hopefully get some journalism or meteorology lessons or, you know, English writing of some sort into their classroom. So we'll see how that goes down the line.
Well, sure. And I think that it's got to be exciting to them because, again, I mean, education has changed so much since I went to school a long time ago. But and then, you know, it's such a broad spectrum from kindergarten or pre-K up to seniors and, you know, higher education. I don't know how far you're going. And then the different, you know, special ed teachers and different people that all have their specialties and things that they're dealing with. And the lack of respect sometimes that teachers get from their students and how do they deal with all those things. And then the different school districts that you have to deal with, because everybody's going to have a different, you know, a hierarchy to answer to down the line. So I think that all that is just, you have so many opportunities to give these people a voice and an opportunity to share you know, what I realize they can't share their frustrations as much as they might want to, because I mean they've got their jobs to consider, but you know, it can highlight some things that otherwise they don't have a voice to be able to share. I think it's just a wonderful thing.
Well, and every school district works a little differently too. Like from my side of things, if I want to tell a story about a really cool third grade teacher, or if I want to talk with a cool sophomore in high school who did this really cool science project, some school districts I'm reaching out directly to a communications or a marketing director. Some I'm reaching out to the superintendent. Some it's just the individual principal. Some it's the teacher directly. So everyone works differently. And I think this teacher focus group as well will help us realize, like, okay, if we want to do a story with this school district, this is our point person. If we want to do something with this school, this is our point person. And it's different for me growing up in the Chicago suburbs, where in Naperville, there were 5 public high schools. There were a gazillion elementary schools, so many middle schools. And then I go to some of these towns and I'm like, okay, like, where should I meet the principal? And they're like, oh, I'm just in the school. I'm like, just the school? Like, there's one school? Where am I meeting you? Like, I'm still learning how that works, especially, you know, my first 6 months or so. It was a bit of a learning curve of just understanding how these school districts work. Now I feel like I got a good handle on it. I got a good grasp of how these different districts all work and get along. But it was definitely, it's different from how I grew up in the suburbs.
Well, sure, it would be. And I think it's, you know, a good many people who are listeners and viewers of Channel 3, they didn't all grow up here either. I mean, the core group did, but there's a lot of people who also didn't. And they, you know, if somebody who's moved in here from a more urban area, they may not understand how things work here, or may be frustrated with the way things are handled in a more rural school district. Mm-hmm. So it's just another way, I think, to open people's eyes.
Sure.
What do you think, Amanda, in your time, have you learned anything important about yourself, or what have you learned mostly, do you think, in this 3 years you've been at Channel 3 as a journalist and as a person?
And it's like hard. It's so hard to think about, because you learn so much in school and then you learn so much more when you're out on the job, right? Like sometimes the best way to learn is just by jumping feet first into things, right? You're not necessarily going to breaking news situations all the time when you're at school, but here you have some crazy news weeks where you're doing breaking news back to back to back days, right? I would say at the end of the day, though, just learning how to be like a compassionate, empathetic human, it goes such a long way. And you can't learn that in school. No one can teach you how to be kind, but it's different when I'm making all these calls to sources and I'm like, hey, I'm on a deadline and I need you to do an on-camera interview with me for 5 minutes by the end of the day today. Like, if you sound stressed, they're going to be like, okay, well, let me try to find time in my day. But if you just approach them as, hey, I know you're really busy, but I'm on this deadline, it would really help the viewers, it would help the community, it would help like, you just learn how to approach people differently, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But it all goes back to just being that kind, empathetic person. Don't approach people as a, you know, here's my big journalism hat that I have on today. Yeah. I just approach people as, hey, I'm Amanda. Always try to find, you know, some similarities that you guys may have. Like, oh, did you watch the Illini game last night? Or, oh, where did you say you were from? Are you a family that went where? I just think that those actions can go such a long way, and you just notice it, the importance of it, more and more and more every day. So I feel like that's one of my biggest takeaways, is just, you know, appreciating the people around you, getting to know the people around you, and what else they have going on, and really just being compassionate and empathetic.
Mm-hmm. I think that covers my other question about the misconception about journalism, and in Central Illinois specifically. I think that really does kind of, do you think it kind of covers that too, or do you think there are misconceptions, or is that a major misconception that people are a little cold sometimes, some journalists?
I think it's right. It's one of them. I think maybe one of the biggest misconceptions is that TV news is not glamorous, like, at all. People ask me and are surprised all the time of, oh, you buy your own clothes? You do your own makeup? You do your own hair. Like, yes, I get ready by myself. There's no magic makeup person here that's helping me get ready. That is like one of the biggest misconceptions. There are some days as a reporter, like you live out of your car. Like you pack a lunch and you are driving all day. You are in the middle of nowhere all day. Sometimes you go into a Casey's gas station. You're like, I need pizza. I need a source. I need water. And I hope you can help me. Like TV news is not glamorous, but it's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding. I feel like that really balances it out. I think a lot of our interns or a lot of people may be surprised with the number of phone calls and emails that you make in the day. You know, if you call one person and they're not available, well, it looks like I'm calling next in line until I get a source for my story, right? Like if one person tells me no, well, I was still assigned the story and I still have to be on TV by 5 and 6 PM. So I need to find some way to do it. So you have to be flexible. You have to think on your feet. You have to write fast. Like sometimes I'm doing an interview at 3:45 and it has to be on TV just a couple of minutes later. You have to edit fast. Not everyone has photographers out in the field. I'm very lucky where a lot of my feature stories I work with are talented photojournalists, but a majority of the reporters are out shooting their own video, editing their own video, doing their own interviews. So you are out by yourself a majority of the time living in your car. So some days it's great. You're just in Champaign. You're doing stories over at the U of I and it's just across Neal Street from the station. Other times you are an hour and a half away. You're going live. You know, you leave the station at 10 a.m. You're going live in the same town at 6 p.m. and you're getting back late. And then you're updating the website, updating your professional social media pages. So there are long days. That's for sure. Not that, you know, I don't want to scare anyone away from it. It's a great job. I love it. But you just, you know, you have to be prepared for all of the scary parts that come with TV that people might not think of right off the bat.
Again, things that you're not taught in journalism school. Those are the things you cannot see from a book.
Yeah. Make sure you have a hotspot and a way to get the internet so you can look up sources when you're in the middle of nowhere, right?
Well, you mentioned social media, and again, every time I have one of you, someone on from Channel 3, the subject of social media is just something that has changed things so much. It's such a double-edged sword. You guys can get the word out there about so many things. The most recent thing to me was the do not drink order for Mattoon when the water was unsafe to drink. I'm from Mattoon, but I'm actually on Clearwater, so it wasn't something that affected me personally on a day-to-day basis. But I mean, that's my town, and you know, the fact that you guys, Jacob and you and Kevin, you guys worked so hard to get the word out, because it didn't seem to be a very cohesive plan in place to let the townspeople know what was actually going on, the people who were most affected by this. There weren't, you know, wasn't a text that went out or anything that, you know, not everybody's on social media. A lot of older people are, a lot of people aren't. No matter what their age, they shy away from it. So there seemed to me that there needed to be a better way, but that you guys did your best to, you have so many followers collectively, and to get the word out. And then those people can filter it out to other people who don't have it, and maybe elderly people that don't get out at all. But it is just such a double-edged sword. Then because by trying to do good and get that word out to people, then you're subject to all these, the bots, the astroturfing that gets out there, and these people will just hop on the second somebody says anything, they're going to say something negative. And that has to be a huge aggravation. Is there any way that can be dealt with? I mean, do you have anybody there, that an intern that goes in and could block those situations? Because I know that Jacob goes in, he blocks. He has no, he and Kevin, you guys try to be diplomatic, but then there's no hesitation to block somebody if they're an actual human being. But I always go to the page first and see if it's a real person, because if you're replying to somebody that, you know, doesn't have, the page was formed and they don't have any connections at all, I mean, obviously that's not a real person. So,
right.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, I mean, I see social media as a way to get connected with the community. There's a lot of positives to social media. People will message me some feel-good feature stories. That's how I got a really fun story back in May at the Coles County Speedway that had been close to closing, and a family came in and bought it and now runs it. And that story came from social media. They messaged me on Facebook and said, hey, would you be interested in this? We exchanged messages back and forth, and I was there a few months later. So I view it as a way that I can get stories, I can stay connected with the community. But at the end of the day, I mean, we all are reading through the comments ourselves. We don't have someone that's here just feeding out some of the comments. I mean, we have a whole digital team that's in charge of like the WCIA page itself. But as for our professional pages with large followings, Kevin runs his, Jacob runs his, I run mine, Jennifer runs hers. Like, we are the ones reading these comments. So I think sometimes people forget that there are humans at the other end of this. I always try, you know, if people are asking me questions, I always try to go through and I answer them, because I'm like, if I see the comment, might as well reply, type of a thing. But there are some people every once in a while that I have to block. I feel like Jacob and Kevin definitely go through and have to block people every so often. It doesn't happen like every day or anything by all means, but every once in a while there are some people who will comment something that just doesn't need to be said on social media. And I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to have a positive page, and I think all of my coworkers would agree that they want their pages to be positive, a way to get out news, alerts, stay connected, have some, you know, cute family photos or vacation photos on there every once in a while. That's our goal, is to just show who we are as people and keep everyone informed. We don't want the negativity, so we have to block people every once in a while. But I would say there's so much more positive than negative.
That's good. That's good. I know that there used to be a time in my lifetime where you didn't, you know, you didn't know till you met someone. Maybe you'd read their writings and you didn't know their character. But anymore, people just, you know, the flag goes up the minute they make a comment, because you can kind of see where their heart is, where their character is, where their lack of empathy. It all just is there in one fairly semi-permanent way to leave your mark on the world. And I don't know why people don't realize that, but I guess they just don't care in some cases. Before we leave, we talked, I did not ask you about the WCIA app that is now available, the streaming app. That's got to open up a whole bunch of other doors. Can you tell about that?
Yeah, it's exciting. So it launched at the end of June. So we're still getting our bearings a little bit. We're learning something new every single day about the app. It's not a smartphone app. So that's what a lot of people are asking. It's like, how can I get this on my phone? It's an app that TV stations across the country are using and seeing a lot of success with. And it is specifically for smart TVs that have Amazon. So Amazon Fire Stick, Roku, Apple TV, things like that, that you can go to an app store and you can download this app, right? So you search WCIA Plus. But what's cool about this app is, okay, you get our live broadcast starting at 5 a.m. But it's a 24/7 app, and it's all local content. It is 24/7 of Illinois, not just news, but Jennifer has a really fun cooking show called Let's Dish that airs once a week. And she brings people into our WCIA kitchen, chefs from all over the viewing area, and they're making something. Like, sure, it's a learning how to cook, but they're having a conversation. Jennifer is learning how this chef got interested in cooking, where they're from, their favorite part of it, you know, all those deep questions, and they just happen to be cooking at the same time, right? So that's a really fun show. Kevin brings on interviews and goes behind the forecast, so he explains the science of his job. He's had on meteorology professors from the U of I. He's had on the Illini baseball coach, who talks about how the weather impacts game time decisions for outdoor sports, right? So that's all interesting. Taylor Mitchell is doing Chat with the Chief, an inside look into law enforcement here in Central Illinois. And these are all shows that are app specific. So we're not showing these, you know, 2 p.m. on CBS, right? Like, this is, if you want to see these shows, you have to download our app. So it is definitely You know, it's another way a lot of people maybe who don't have cable, they can now stream using this app. I think that that is going to be a positive, but it's just another way stay connected with everyone at WCIA and just get to know us in this laid back podcast fashion. So, I mean, funny enough, if you like podcasts, there are podcast style shows 24/7 on our app. So definitely I'd say download it. I'm saying that because I work here, but I'm saying that because even if I didn't work here, it is a really cool asset to just see the on-air talent that you see every day connect in a new way. But it's also our digital team doing things. The bylines that you see on our articles but you don't see on TV, you'll get to know them through the app. You'll get to know our production team through the app. Everyone has their own little you know, passions and what they like talking about. So we've got some of our digital team members talking all about Chicago sports. They're not part of our sports team, but they have a passion for sports and they're talking about it. We have people who are passionate about all sorts of board games. They're going to be playing board games on TV. Like, it's just really unique things like that, that you're only going to get on the app. So it's a long-winded answer for all the cool things that you can get on the WCIA 3 Plus app.
Well, I think it's amazing and a great opportunity that you're not going to find anyplace else. And if the fact, like it does, pull back the curtain and give people a different viewpoint of who you guys are, who you people are in your, you know, besides what we see on screen, because, you know, everybody's multifaceted. And I think they don't get the opportunity to see that or hear that. I think it's amazing.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much, Amanda. Do you have any contact information you'd like to give people, your social media pages or anything, any other information about Channel 3 you'd like to give?
Definitely connect with us on social media. You can send us a message for any fun feature story. I am all ears. I love getting out in the community, as I've mentioned. So my Facebook is Amanda Brennan. You can find me, my profile picture. I'm in a bright yellow dress. And then my Twitter is at Amanda Brennan TV. Yeah, that's my Twitter handle. I had to think about that. You can search Amanda Brennan. You'll find me on Twitter, on Facebook. And my email, like any station email, is just abrennan@wcia.com.
Well, as usual, you have been just a joy to be here. And I appreciate you taking the time. I know that you guys are just always, always going. And to make time for to come here means a lot to me.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me.
And I know that the listeners always enjoy listening to you. Well, thank you again. And everyone, please, please be kind. Thanks for listening to Life on the Illinois Prairie, the undercurrents of our American life. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to Life on the Illinois Prairie wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, interviews, and updates. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Until next time.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.